57-year-old Prince died yesterday. Very, very sad. A lot of people really quite cut up about it. And Mark Miller's here. You're not entirely cut up about it, are you, Mark? I mean, you're not, you know, crying.
Well, you know, somebody asked me that yesterday. No, I'm not crying about it. We weren't best pals or anything.
No.
But we lived in the same city for 20-some years together.
Right, and he's one of those guys that's really associated with his city. He didn't ditch it. He didn't move to L.A. or New York and go...
No, you know, he was...
Should we name the city first?
It's Minneapolis.
Yes.
The Minneapolis. He was a guy around town. You know, and I have a lot of friends on Facebook who still live in Minneapolis. And it's fun to go back and read, you know, everyone's telling about, oh, when they ran into Prince, you know, at Rudolph's Barbecue, is an uptown restaurant where he used to hang out late at night, or someone ran into him at a movie theater with Kim Basinger. And
this is the only time for me when it's okay, when somebody posts something, for you to go, oh, I have an experience of this. Because that's what you do when somebody dies, isn't it? You tell stories.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine. But if I'm in Jamaica on vacation, I don't want you posting, oh, I was in Jamaica last year. It was really great. I don't care about your vacation to Jamaica.
Yeah. No, Jamaica's still there.
I find that very irritating.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about it.
No, when somebody dies, you tell stories, don't you? It's an old Irish tradition, I think.
No, it was great. I still have family that lives in Minneapolis, and Minneapolis is shut down. They said they started dancing at First Avenue last night at 10 o'clock, and they were still dancing at 8 o'clock this morning.
Wow. And they've shone purple lights on buildings, and
yeah,
they've really gone for it. He was a favourite son. Was he a bit crazy?
I don't know if he was crazy. I mean, he was... I don't know how you describe that. You know, he was... he was really an artist. I mean, he was really doing something, even when it was maybe a little eccentric or a little bizarre. You know, I got to see him three times at First Avenue. And
what kind of a venue is that?
First Avenue. Well, First Avenue is the club that he made famous. It's on First Avenue and 7th Street in Minneapolis. It's just, it's a club. I mean, it's just a place where you go to see bands. And he was, for many years, he was like kind of the house band there for a while. And then when he exploded and he became, you know, Prince,
yeah,
then he couldn't do that anymore.
Right.
And so I saw him three times because periodically it wasn't unusual that he would show up at like midnight and he would play, you know, like a 90-minute set or a 2-hour show.
Really?
Either because he was coming in off the road or he was getting ready to take a band out on the road.
Wow.
And so I saw him three times that way. Third row.
Ooh! How lovely. Do you know that? That's the sort of thing that I often sort of comment. I say, oh, I'm so jealous of this one, that one, you know, because they're famous and I'm not. But that's the kind of thing. That's the kind of thing that really I'm envious of, is being able to go back to your hometown and do a show when you've just played a huge, massive venue and play for your friends who were there for you when you were, you know, nobody or whatever. But
do you know what? And that's the thing, is that, you know, even, you know, when they're talking about, you know, what the last few days of his life was like
yeah,
the last thing that he did is that he played a show for 200 people at Paisley Park. And that's the kind of thing that he did periodically. I'll tell you this, the reason that I got to see him three times at First Avenue, because they're always, you know, they're never advertised, you have to know that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Is because he grew up a poor kid on the north side of Minneapolis, which is the poor black side of town.
Yeah.
In that neighborhood, there's not much, but there was a local radio station, a community radio station for just the north side. And he used to feed them music. As he started to get popular, he would send them like unrecorded versions of things or re-edited versions of things, because he wanted to give back to that community, and yeah, that local radio station was the way that he did that. And so when he became huge, then one of the things that he would do is he would call KMOJ and say, I'm going to do a show. It's going to be tonight. Don't make a big thing out of it, but I want some people from the community to show up. And I happen to have a friend who works at KMOJ radio station.
Right, so he could give you a call.
Exactly.
That's community radio at its very, very, very best, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So great. What a good story. I invited you in here because I bumped into you yesterday at lunchtime. I never thought for 1 minute you'd have a good story like that.
Oh, my gosh.
I was just looking for content. I was trying to fill space here.
I know it, but...
It's wonderful.
But I'm a Minneapolis boy at heart.
Yeah, I would love to go. Now, Minneapolis as a city, very sort of liberal kind of place, no?
Minnesota is the only socialist state in America.
Really? And why would you say that? Because it's got free healthcare, has it? Does it?
I think we're pretty liberal with healthcare there. We elected Jesse the Body Ventura as governor. Paul Wellstone was the senator there for many, many years. And I don't know, Paul might have even been a flat-out registered socialist.
And I'm spacing on the Al Franken.
Oh, and now we have Al Franken. There you go. That's Minnesota. Al Franken is our senior senator.
And do you know what? He was never a very good comedian, I never thought. I always thought he was sloppy. Compared to, Bill Maher. Or even Russell Brand, or these sort of other politically charged, or John Stewart. He could never compete with those guys.
No, I think
he's a very good senator. Very good senator.
I think he's a better writer than he is a performer.
Probably so, yeah.
Although Stuart Smiley was pretty funny.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. So, Minnesota, what an interesting place. I would love to go there because Garrison Keillor also.
Yeah.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Minnesota. I can even do the accent. Am I doing it okay?
Yeah, you sound great. You'd fit right in. Yeah.
Land of 1,000 lakes?
10,000.
Excuse me. Land of 10,000 lakes?
And for people, I'll tell you this, a land of 10,000 lakes, and then for people who are from there, they also call it the land of 10,000 treatment centres.
Hey, it's like that around here. It's like that everywhere. Mark Miller, you have a radio show on this very radio station. Could you please tell us about it now?
Friendship show Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. Roundtable discussion radio show. Just sitting and talking with interesting people who are doing interesting things to make the world a better place.
Good man. Excellent. Mark Miller, thank you very much for coming in and talking about Prince. Sadly, gone. But we're doing a tribute night on May the 2nd at the Marine Room Tavern. It's going to be banging.
Are you going to play?
I don't know. I'm not. Look at Prince. Look at me.
Who's going to do... You should do Purple
Prince,
Rain.
Prince, he always looked like a little... He looked like dipped in pubic hair, the guy, to me. I can't... And he's very funky, and I'm a Jew. I'm not a funky Jew.
No, go back and listen to the Purple Rain album. It's mostly a blues rock album.
Right.
And you can rock it out. You could rock out some Purple Rain.
I never thought of me.
Just do it as a blues tribute.
Purple Vein. Goodbye, Mark.
All right, happy Seder.
Thanks for coming in.
Chance his girlfriend came across a needle and soon she did the same. At home there are 17-year-old boys and their idea of fun is being in a gang called the Disciples, high on crack, toting a machine.